He's already been dead and it's messed with his head. It's John's post-life crisis.
Welcome to John's post-life crisis. I am your host, John Johnston, founder and manager of CornNation.com, your Nebraska Cornhusker site of anticipation, because we're not 100% sure what's coming next. Today, we're talking with college baseball writer Eric Sorensen. Eric writes for D1Baseball.com, your source of all things college baseball. Forget those guys at Baseball America. They don't like the Big Ten anyway.
I like that. Hey, I'm with you. Screw them.
You know what? They never seem to like the Big Ten in the past. Am I biased about that? Or
maybe a little bit. I do know. I mean, obviously, I know those guys. And Joe Healy, the new guy that they got writing for them, he's from St. Louis. Not that that's Big Ten country anymore or anything like that, but he's from St. Louis, so I don't know that he has a series. And I've seen him up at that Minneapolis tournament the last few years where they play inside the Viking Stadium. Yeah. And so I don't know. He gives them a pretty good balance. I think they're actually okay. They might not have been as kind toward the Big Ten back in the days when John Manuel was on board. But Aaron Fitt was there. Aaron's obviously with D1 Baseball now, and he's always been a big Ten guy. So yeah, they've had their guys. Yeah, I think so. He doesn't, contrary to what probably people believe, none of us really have much of a bias against anybody. I always used to use the phrase that I hate everybody on the same level, all teams. I hate them all equally. But no, I mean, I don't think these guys really do have much of a bias against anyone. That's kind of a misnomer.
Well, then I'll let it go.
That's very big of you, JJ.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to – yeah, I think I see what you mean, though, because it was always hard to write great things about the Big Ten when they weren't really doing so well oftentimes. I mean, you had a couple times here, like when Michigan made the Super Regionals in 2007, Minnesota hosted a regional in 2001, I think it was. But things have gotten so much better now in the Big Ten, and as we've talked about before, every team in that conference has either built a new stadium or expanded their current facilities and done really great job of emphasizing the sport a little bit more. So now it's easier to write good things about the Big Ten when they're making such waves, and I dig it. I love what is going on with that conference right now.
It seems like it's even the playing field out a little bit more. I mean, I have a guy that writes about college baseball, so I don't check it as much, but I still go through some of the, you know, the playbooks, and you'll notice that like only 200 people show up at an Iowa baseball game. So
sure.
Right now we would be in Omaha watching one of the best events in college sports.
Yep.
And that unfortunately didn't happen this year. We had an entire season that was lost to the COVID virus. What do you think? Will Bolt didn't get his first season at Nebraska. Do you think this has any effect, positive or negative, on him? Let's talk about Nebraska for just a few minutes.
No, we can spend the first 35, 40 minutes on Nebraska. That's fine. I'm good with that. I'm a big Red fan. I grew up there, so that's cool. I'm kidding, of course. No, I think this, in a way, is kind of good. You know, okay, let me try and put a positive spin on it. I think it's kind of good in a way that this happened, or this isn't a great thing for any coach, obviously, but in a way it's kind of good because, you know, Will Bolt kind of gets a do-over now. He got the first, 4 weeks of the season in, of a season in, and then all of a sudden everything stopped, of course. So he kind of got his feet wet a little bit. Granted, Nebraska wasn't doing great off to a, 7-8 start. But this is kind of a mulligan. You know, this is like, hey, I get to do it over again, and I kind of know what to expect even more so the second time around. So I think it's kind of a good thing. If you want to take a positive spin on the season getting canceled, it's kind of a good thing in Will Bolt's case because, yeah, he can figure out what maybe he did wrong or what he'd do differently next time, and then he gets a do-over. So I think it's kind of a good deal.
So the NCAA basically has said that those players that didn't get to participate in their spring sports can come back for a year. They basically kind of get an extra year, not really an extra year, but you get what I mean. Do you see that? Do you see that happening all over the nation, that a lot of college baseball players are going to return? And if so, what happens to rosters?
Yeah, no, it's going to be a weird season next year. Most guys are going to come back. There's some that aren't. In fact, I did an article on this kid. I guess it was last week. I did an article on these two kids from Alaska. I wanted to do an article about players from the 49th state and how they got to Division I. And one of them played for Austin Peay, and he just kind of said, "Nah, I'm done with baseball now. I'm not going to come back. I've got my degree. And, baseball is just kind of fun, I did for fun, and I'm ready to get on with my life back home in Alaska now." So I think you're going to see a lot of those. But other than that, you're not going to see a lot of those, but you're going to see some that just move on. But other than that, I think most players are going to come back. And what you were saying, JJ, is right. The rosters are going to be packed. But it's also going to be a good thing, because we're probably going to see more talent on the field in college baseball next year and the year after than we've ever seen, just because there was only five rounds of the draft. So all those players that would normally have gone, round 6 to 40, they're all going to come back to school and play another year. And a lot of those high school kids that would get drafted in those rounds, that, they don't have kind of much of a choice now. They're just going to go and go to school probably and play collegiately. So I think it's going to be interesting how much talent, to see how the quality of our game will be a little bit better next year and year after. I think it's kind of cool.
Okay. You mentioned the draft, and I don't pay attention to Major League Baseball. I am not a pro sports guy. I watch the NFL a little bit, but I'm not a pro sports guy. But it seems that, you're looking at the major leagues, they're still arguing about a season, whatever, but the smaller leagues, they look like they're going to just rampantly go out of business. What happens to college baseball when that happens? These guys are not going to have a place to go.
Yeah, I think, what was it, like 40 minor league teams they're chopping it up. The minor league baseball is chopping them for up to 40 teams. I think it's just kind of a thing where it's sad as it is. What that means is kids aren't going to be playing baseball as a career. Even if you were just in the minors for a year or two or something like that, there's just going to be a lot of people that they kind of said, well, nope, don't go into playing baseball, do something else. So it's kind of a sad thing. Not really sure how that affects the collegiate level of baseball. I think, maybe it does help a little bit that more kids will go will be playing college ball. And, again, we're getting back to next year. The rosters are going to be, overpacked next year, and coaches are going to have to do a lot of juggling. But yeah, it's kind of sad. It's kind of a drag that a lot of minor league baseball teams have gotten the axe, and now it's closing opportunities for our sport. It's really kind of weird.
Plus, you're seeing Bowling Green, I believe, and Furman have eliminated their baseball program. So there's going to be budgetary concerns at the Division I level.
That's
a lot of stuff in flux.
Right. But the good news is Bowling Green actually had donors donate $1.5 million, and they're actually not chopping the program now. So Furman is the only one that's going to be chopped for next year as of now. But yeah, John, I worry about everything kind of falls in domino fashion. Like if the football season isn't played as we're used to it, if it's not a normal season, even if it's a short season, or if, God helps us, the season doesn't get played at all, then we're really going to see, even if it's in a kind of a truncated season, I still think we're going to see some baseball programs in Division I at the lower levels probably still have issues and probably cut their sport. I'm still waiting for that to happen. It hasn't happened yet, other than those two. And now, of course, like I said, Bowling Green coming back again. So yeah, it's sad. That's why it's really interesting to me as to what's going to happen for college football season. Because, you know, football, especially at a place like Nebraska, that pays the bills. I mean, that pays a lot of bills. So I'm worried about how that's going to turn out.
Well, I'm going to leave college football alone for now, but there is a new proposal that's been basically put out by Michigan's Eric Backich, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This has to do with changing really kind of the structure of college baseball and the scheduling. And I guess, okay, what it is this. They're recommending pushing the season back 4 weeks so that it would start in mid-March. This yeah. would give cold weather or northern teams basically the chance to not have to travel as much.
Right.
They wouldn't be spending as much money going to, you know, play in Arizona or play in Rutgers wouldn't go down to Miami and get their ass kicked at the beginning of every year.
That's right.
You know, yep. Nebraska wouldn't be going to Cal State Fullerton. There's yep. that. There's an expanded preseason, 9 weeks of practice instead of four.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're talking about playing the College World Series in late July.
Yeah.
There's some other yeah. things in here, but what do you think of this?
Well, I've been screaming for something like this for years, and I've been screaming basically in a room full of rubber walls because it's been driving me crazy. I've always wanted it to be more true to the weather, just to the season, like the pro baseball season is. This to me, this new model that Coach Backich and a couple of others, including Tim Corbin, kind of collaborated on and want to propose, to me, it's great. I like it, and I've been wanting it for forever. And I remember Gene Stevenson at Wichita State, he'd been saying about it forever, too. He's been saying, you know, let's start in March and end it in August. There's a lot that goes into it, a lot to consider. And, of course, there'd be a lot to do before it ever gets – something like that ever gets passed. But just kind of put an umbrella on it, though, John – It came about and is gaining some traction because it means more income and more money, and it's a money thing. Even if you're an LSU or you're a Mercer or, you know, some small school or Troy State or something like that, you're going to get games playing when the weather's better in May and June, of course, and into July for postseason. But you're going to get more fans at your games. It's going to increase attendance, and it's going to increase money. And I think that's the biggest thing is now this has come about now because coaches are starting to think, all right, we really got to monetize our sport more. I mean, for everybody, not just the Southern schools. So, yeah, it's based on budgets getting tighter and tighter. And I think that's why these coaches made this proposal, and hopefully we'll see how it turns out. We'll see if it gains more traction, but it has gotten more traction than anything that has come along prior to this.
So it took them forever to come up with a uniform start date. And
yeah.
That was because the Southern schools didn't want to lose their advantage. Is that correct?
Right. Oh yeah. It had all to do with that. Sure.
It's and true. The reason why we haven't changed this before is because the Southern schools, again, don't want to lose their advantage.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yes. I remember coaches talking about why are we getting penalized for having good weather, you know, when they were talking about moving to making it a common start date. I remember that distinctly. So, yes, it had a lot to do with the teams that were in power didn't want to lose power just like anything else, you know.
Wow, why am I getting penalized? They weren't getting penalized at all. That's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
That would drive me insane if a coach said that to me.
Yeah, no, it's completely bizarre. And the other thing was back in those days, college baseball, I didn't like anything that made our sport look freakish. And a couple of things that made it look freakish were the aluminum bats that were just, you know, crazy, that were making home runs, just, you know, making it like a video game. And another thing was the common start date, or not having a common start date. And it was the only collegiate sport that did not have a common start date. You know, teams could just start playing whenever they wanted. It was really weird. So that's why I was glad. I didn't like the way that looked for our sport, to have some teams starting even in January games and others not starting until, you know, even early March. So yeah, that was weird to me. And I was glad they changed it for the better. I thought it was for the better for everyone personally.
Then they changed the RPI formula. They made it, let's be honest, made it a little bit more easier for Northern schools to get into NCAA tournaments.
Well, that was so weird too, Jade. It was just strange that basketball had the RPI formula and they rewarded teams, you know, gave them a little bit of a bump if they won on a road game, because, you know, obviously if you go on the road, it's harder to win. So they would give them a little bit bonus point for winning on the road, but baseball didn't. Baseball at that time, when they were using the RPI, didn't have that extra incentive or that extra bump for a team that won on the road. And of course, you know, a team like Minnesota, the Gophers going on the road, until the Viking Stadium was built, was definitely a necessity, to where they had to be on the road, you know, 4 weeks to start the season. The first 20 or 25 games were always on the road. So, God, I was glad they changed that for the RPI. I hate the RPI still because it's a basketball formula, but I was glad they made that change and started rewarding teams for winning road games, because that was necessary.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
So what has to happen in order for college baseball to change so that they would accept, well, I don't want to call it Eric Backich's proposal, but this new proposal about changes in college baseball? What has to happen?
First, you know, it's got to go through a couple of different votes by the NCAA, and proposals that proposal has to go through a couple different votes in the NCAA and a couple different levels. But I think what will push it more is just like I said, it's a money thing, and that's what's making this, with the tightening of belts everywhere, not just at the Northern schools, but with tightening of belts everywhere. It's a smart proposal, that this new model that Coach Backich and like I said, a couple of coaches put together. I think that they will, since there's more coaches kind of behind this than, you know, your proposed start, the common start date, there not as many were behind that, but there's more push for this now. And I think that's going to help when they do propose this to NCAA. I don't know if that'll get pushed, if it'll get implemented right away, if it'll get implemented for the 2022 season necessarily, but I still think it's just that it's got so much momentum behind it, and it makes so much sense, and it makes money, period, that I think that's why this one's got a chance, that it's got a legit chance to get pushed through.
So what do you think about the college World Series going to July in Omaha?
Well, here's the problem with that, JJ. I love going back home to Omaha every summer. I live in Los Angeles now, where it never gets above 85, and it's great. You know, we live near the coast, and it's cool water. I'm a heat wimp now. I'm a real heat wimp. So when I get to Omaha, I always dread what the weather's going to look like and how hot it's going to be. And we've had some real pot boilers over the years. And then sometimes, like last year, although there was a little bit of rain here and there, last year was actually quite comfortable. But you know, if it gets pushed into July, you're probably going to lose out on a chance at having some cool days and comfortable days. It's probably all going to be hot. that's kind of the only thing. I think the good thing is, as opposed to years past, is, you know, they're not sharing the stadium with the Omaha Royals or the Storm Chasers, I guess they're called now. They're not sharing that stadium. So I don't think the College World Series cares. The NCAA doesn't really care, or not the NCAA, but the people that run the College World Series, I don't think they really care when it will be, because it can be flexible. That stadium is built for that purpose. So that's kind of a good thing. That's not going to be a problem. But, you know, other than me bitching and crabbing about the heat, which I hate, everything should be fine. If they did have to move it, if they do move it to July, that wouldn't be a problem as far as that goes.
Have you talked to anybody in Omaha who's like in charge of things about it?
No, I'm trying to think if I've read. No, I haven't talked to anybody about that yet. That's just something that hasn't come up on my radar as of yet. But, you know, it will be interesting to see if this thing does get more, if the new model does get more legs to it. That will be one thing that does. That's just another thing that comes up, but I don't think it's a big ordeal to have the College World Series itself in July.
So going back to the base proposal, I mentioned that the quote, warm weather teams didn't want to lose their advantage. What I really wanted to say was the SEC didn't want to lose its advantage.
Yeah. Yep.
So
yep, that's true.
Is there anybody in the SEC that's for this? Is there any sea change or wind change in the SEC that says they might not oppose this as much as they have stuff in the past?
Yeah. I think Tim Corbin is one of the coaches that was part of this committee.
Right. Vanderbilt, right?
So yeah, him being the Vanderbilt coach, that's a huge thing, because obviously now Vanderbilt's a really kick-ass program and they're winning national championships, and Tim Corbin has a lot of influence. But if you think about it, it's still the reason why. I mean, there are definitely some coaches out there that don't want it, I'm sure. I haven't heard a lot from them, but I would imagine most coaches would take this, look at it logically and say, look, even in the South, In games in February and March can be butt cold. That's for sure. I remember going to the opening weekend at Florida Miami series. I don't know, maybe three years ago, I think it was. And the Miami players were wearing like hoodies, and scarves over their faces. They were so cold, because it really was cold down there in Gainesville for opening weekend. So it just gets cold. So moving the season. You know, fans aren't going to show up for games that are played in 40-degree weather. Even, like I said, even in the Deep South, where it will get cold like that at night. In the early part of the season, so they're not going to show up for those games. But if you move the season, you start it in March, and you get more games in June, late May and June, I still think those fans are going to show up even more so. It's having these programs be money making programs. And I think the SEC coaches, though they might be against it, some might be against it, I think in the long run, there's a couple that are for it. And I think that's a good sign for this new model proposal.
Okay. So earlier we talked about how there's, next year, at least, there's going to be more talent in college baseball. The South didn't want to lose its advantage. If we put those two things together, I mean, do you see more talent staying in college baseball, or do you just see in a couple of years, and I know this is speculation, in a couple of years, everything goes back to normal and Major League Baseball has 300 rounds of their draft and players go all over the place? And I mean, is that not something that would influence the SEC to kind of ease off? Or am I just spitting?
Ease off of what? What do you mean?
Being against this change.
Oh, of being against it? I don't think so. I think, well, first of all, one of the things that I think is going to happen, it hasn't been announced yet, but I think one of the things that Major League Baseball is probably going to do is cut the draft. You know, usually it's 40 rounds. It used to be 50 just a couple of years ago. I think one of the things they're going to do is, after this year being just 5 rounds, I think they're probably going to cut it down to 20 or 25 rounds eventually. And that will help college baseball. It will help as far as getting more talent into our sport. And again, it being a little better product out on the field and even better than it is right now. So next year with, you know, all your seniors coming, or, you know, most of them coming back for a fifth year, essentially, everybody getting an extra year, you're going to have a lot of rosters that balloon from 27 to maybe 40 or something like that. And that's, you know, that's going to be problematic for the coaches, but I do think they're used to juggling their roster a lot. So I don't think that's going to be a huge difference, but like I said, a lot of talent probably the best collection of talent the college game has seen will be on the field next year, because of the draft being shorter and all the players getting an extra year. I think that's just going to add to the high quality of college baseball eventually.
So what do you think the chances of this actually getting passed and actually implemented within a year?
I don't see it in a year, John. I don't see it happening that quickly. I think this thing has a puncher's chance at getting passed. Like I said, because there's a lot of coaches that are for this, and a lot of it just makes so much sense in these belt tightening days. So I would give it a shot at passing. I'm just not sure if it'll pass really quickly. I don't know if they're gonna put it on a speed rail to get it happening next year or the year after. But I do think this has a chance at passing, and just because it makes so much sense, and anytime you can put dollar signs in front of the NCAA, I think they're gonna go for it. So yeah, we'll see how it pans out. I think the other thing that I'm kind of glad about with if this thing does pass is I've always been frustrated by the Ivy League playing, you know, having the rule where they can't play baseball after exams are done, after the semester is over. So that's why they always ended in early May and had their playoffs right after that. So I think this is at least one thing where if it does pass, we'll get baseball even in the Ivy League playing real seasons, like a full season, instead of just, you know, essentially a month and a half of good weather good enough to play in. So there are a lot of advantages to it. And I hope it does pass. We'll see what happens as things develop, as things go on. But again, don't expect it to happen right away. I still think it'd probably be a couple of years away.
Is college baseball the quirkiest college sport?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for good and bad reasons. A lot of the bad reasons are it's the only sport that only gives out 11.7 scholarships. It's the least scholarshiped sport, I guess you could say, and also has the fewest amount of coaches per player ratio. The coach per player ratio is terrible. So yeah, for those reasons, it's the quirkiest sport as well. But for other reasons, it's good because, you know, it's becoming more popular now. College baseball has never been more popular than it has been, you know, in where we are right now. So that's the good thing. I mean, John, I know you remember the days back when Nebraska would play at Buck Belzer Field, that little bandbox, and, you know, they'd get 100 family and friends to show up. And now look at it. I mean, if this proposal goes through, you can totally see night games in May and in June being really well attended at UNL, and I think that would be really cool. I think that'd be. I mean, they get good attendance now, but it would be even better in the years to come if this motion does get passed.
I have not been to Haymarket Park for way too long. Let's just go with that. Way too long.
All right.
Let's go back. Let's end up with Nebraska. Do you think the place is in need of any improvements, updates? I mean, if this passes, they could expand the stadium. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't think it needs expansion. I think they built it to the right amount of attendance. I think that's perfect, and they've done a good job with just about everything that I can think of. Now Will Bolt might disagree with me, but it doesn't seem like they're hurting for anything else, to be honest. And I think that's what's great, and that's what was needed for so long down in Lincoln. I'm really glad that they've emphasized the sport so much in the last 20 years. And, you know, got us to go to Omaha. That was the best part of it. You know, three times now the Cornhuskers have gone to Omaha. So no, I don't think they're hurting. I think their facilities are some of the best.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I had this whole season. I think I'd mentioned this on the last podcast. No, I didn't. We talked before the season, and we didn't talk about the season falling apart and going away. But I literally wept at one of my neighbor's house because I had set myself up to go shoot the NCAA wrestling tournament finals in here in Minneapolis, the Omaha, you know, the Big Ten tournament, and then the Omaha World College World Series. And it was really – I realize there's been a lot of people that have been hurt way more than I have by all the crap that's happened in 2020, certainly. But it was really upsetting to not – I mean, we've not had sports for a while now. And for a something that, I don't know, relieves stress for people or we can argue about, and it's not politics and religion, it's really – it's been difficult. I mean, our website – I mean, the traffic's way down, but the comments, I mean, it's feisty and it's sometimes nasty. And literally this morning, we published a new reminder about community guidelines, complete with examples on how people can post things in which they're not trying to incite other people to anger. You know what I mean? So sports being gone is really kind of a big deal.
What is your... What is your website? I mean, how much writing or how many articles have you had on there since this all happened?
You know, we've been continuing to publish pretty strong. I mean, when we go into the off season, what I tell my writers is, and the off season, when I say that, I mean not college football season, because we all know how college football season is hugely important in Nebraska. And it's kind of not basketball season, because I think people are still excited, even though basketball didn't do well this year. They're still excited about the potential that Fred Hoiberg has for the program. I tell my writers that you are free to write about anything you want. If you have hobbies to write about, if you have any special interests, go write that stuff. So we've been publishing, you know, on a fairly regular basis, but it's still, you know, people want to hear about football, and it's really difficult to come up with articles when there's really nothing going on. You start making up news. It's kind of
And that's why I feel bad for a site like yours, because it's definitely reliant on football happening. So I really hope it does pull through, for many reasons, that being one of them. But yeah, you're right. In fact, John, I was thinking about all the things that Omaha itself lost out on, which included hosting the first two rounds of the NCAA basketball tournament. They had the swim trials were going to go on again in the summer. The U.S. Olympic swimming trials were supposed to go on, College World Series, obviously, Big Ten tournament. So, yeah, there was a lot that obviously it's depressing as hell. There's a lot that Omaha itself missed out on. I know up there, I saw when I was up there in Minneapolis for that tournament in the Viking Stadium, I saw the signs that said the NCAA wrestling tournament was going to be there. I was like, wow, that's cool. That's a really cool event for them to have up there. And now that got it jettisoned too. So yeah, it's depressing. But you know, we'll get through this on the other side, and it'll make us appreciate these small things like sports much more than we ever have. So I'm trying to keep a positive light on it.
Well, that's true, and right now it looks like we're going to have a college football season. We don't know if there'll be fans in attendance or what that's going to look like. You look at Nebraska, Nebraska is it's an enormous event. Game day is huge. So, well, they go, well, we're not going to have as many fans in the stadium. You know that they're going to be crowded around the place, like, I don't know. Like flies that can't get close to the horse poop. How's that for a really weird reference?
I like it. I like it. You're streaming right now. I dig that. No, it will be weird if they have, you know, 50% capacity at games, or 25%, whatever's been kind of bandied about. Yeah, weird times. Weird times, and it's historically weird times, and we can't help that. That's just the things that happen, man.
Well, we'll end there unless you have anything else.
No, I'm trying to help you get through your depression, JJ, so that we have trying to help you with hopefully having a football season this year. So if anything I can do, like doing this podcast, I feel like I'm helping you out and I'm doing the Lord's work. So thanks for having me on and sharing the airwaves and all that kind of stuff.
Well, God bless you, Eric, for joining me.
Yeah, man. No problem. It was really cool.
Okay, this has been John's Post-Life Crisis. Thanks to Eric for joining me. Thank you all for listening. I hope you're having a great summer. If not, get busy, because it's going to be gone sooner than you think, and we will have a college football season, or something's going to happen. Y'all take care. Thank you.